study your word this day, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some time ago, Good Morning America interviewed a man by the name of Tony from Providence, Rhode Island. At the time of the interview, Tony was a traffic cop. I don't know if we have any traffic cops here in the congregation this morning, but in some ways he was like a lot of the other traffic cops. On the one hand, they really enjoyed their work, but on the other hand, there were those occasions when they would just rather not be cops at all. And during most weeks, all the traffic cops had the opportunity to be out in the midst of traffic, standing in the middle of the busiest intersection in the city, and directing both the speeding and discourteous drivers. It's hard to believe that on our highways today, we find people that either speed or are discourteous. But the cops find them all the time. And this was the case for Tony. He loved his work, but he had to be honest. Being out there in the intersection while this traffic was speeding by in all directions was scary sometimes, and it was downright boring on others. There were a lot of other things he'd rather be doing. That is until one day Tony thought, you know, I'm out here all the time. There's no reason this shouldn't be a little more fun than it is. And he decided he was going to spice it up a little bit and make it a little more entertaining for the people who came by. So he began experimenting with some exaggerated hand and arm movements, which led to sort of rhythmic body swings to go along with the movement of his limbs. And finally, after a few days, he began twirling from left to right and startling drivers with his flourishes of hurry up and slow down and stop. Oh, he was just having fun. And ultimately, what he did sort of led into full body spins, which just culminated then in some splits that he did right there in the intersection. Tony was having more fun than you can ever imagine being a traffic cop. Motorists grew to not only appreciate what he did, but they would go out of their way to drive by Tony on the way to work. In fact, the traffic was so bad after a while that they needed more traffic cops out there to direct the traffic. Tony was finally reassigned to a different intersection, and the chief of police made sure that no one knew where he was going to be assigned on any given day. I remember last year that when there was some construction work going on around Memorial Hospital, we had a guy just like Tony down there at one of the areas in the hospital. And he was having the best time in his life. He wasn't even a patrolman. He wasn't a traffic cop. He was just one of the construction people. But he got into it so much that going to Memorial Hospital began to be fun. Marilyn Meeberg, you may know the name. She's a Christian author and speaker. She responded to this particular interview that was taken and said these words. She said, you know, what a perfect example Tony is of how to practice a laugh style life. She said, a laugh style life is predicated upon our attitude toward the stuff of life. When those tasks seem too dull to endure, figure out a way to make them fun. I mean, like doing dishes, for example. And, you know, if the dishwasher is broken, have fun. Throw the dishes away. You know, something different to do. A lifestyle life is predicated upon our attitude toward the stuff of life. Figure out a way to make dull things fun. Get creative and entertain yourself. If the stuff of life for you right now is not dull or boring, but instead painful and overwhelming, find something in the midst of the pain that makes you smile anyway. That's something we find. that makes you smile anyway. I thought we needed to deal with this subject today for a couple of very simple reasons. What is that something we find in the midst of the pain of floods that are going on, in the midst of tornadoes and earthquakes, in the midst of skyrocketing gas and food prices, in the midst of foreclosures and stock market decline, in the midst of life and death experiences? What is that something we find that makes life fun and gives greater meaning to it? What is it? Our walk with Christ and our walk with each other. I happen to be charged with today's message because I saw a book in our library. And every time we have a council meeting, a staff meeting, or any other meetings, which somehow or another seem to be frequently, there is a book on the shelf. Now, it may be a little bit too high for some people to reach, but I surely could reach it. And the cover just blares out at you, "Laugh Again," by Chuck Swindoll. You may know Chuck Swindoll, a clergy person, an author, president of a seminary, wonderful writer. And I thought, well, I'm going to get this down and just take a glance at it. I want to see if there are folks in the congregation who understood that there is something we can find in the midst of pain. And they saw this on the shelf and they said, by golly, I got to pick this up right away. And I went to the back of the book and pulled out the little card where everybody signs their name, you know, when they pull the book out of the library. And there were no names on it at all. And in the midst of the pain, how do you laugh? How do you find a way to laugh in the midst of the pain? Evidently, all of you know that, or else you didn't want to take the time to pick up the book. I like what Chuck Swindoll says, and just one little section. He said, a while back I came across the following piece that addresses this whole subject of us being here for one another and Christ being here for us. He said, how important are you? He said, more than you think. A rooster minus a hen equals no baby chicks. Kellogg minus a farmer equals no cornflakes. If a nail factory closes, what good is a hammer factory? Paderewski's genius wouldn't have amounted to much if the piano tuner hadn't shown up. A cracker maker will do better if there's a cheese maker. The most skillful surgeon needs the ambulance driver who delivers the patient. Just as Rogers and Hammerstein, you need someone, and someone needs you. Wow. To laugh again, we need each other. And we need Christ just as much as Christ needs us. Sometimes we forget that. It's all about us and our relationship with Christ. But there's also Christ and his relationship with us. Wow, powerful. Chuck says, yeah, we need each other in very dramatic ways if we're going to laugh again. I remember the story of the returning prodigal as told in Luke 15. I don't need to go through the whole story again. All of you know it. You remember it from Sunday school days. And if you don't, well, pick up Luke and take a look at the story, the 15th chapter. You know, the returning prodigal was so amazed about his father's immediate acceptance of him. No ifs, ands, or buts, just immediate acceptance. Reckless forgiveness, unconditional love. No ifs, ands, buts at all. Having been so lost and so distant and so desperate and so alone, he knew there was only one way out of his dilemma, and it was to go home. Children, do come home. Even if you may not want them to return, they do come home. At the end of his rope, he found himself suddenly safe in his dad's embrace, smothered with kisses, surrounded by extravagant grace. The fatted calf! Get the fatted calf! We're not going to have strip steak tonight. We're going to have tenderloin. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. The warm robe. Yes, let's have the warm robe. You know, the one that you picked up at the Marriott. Bring it out. Our son has returned. Comfortable new sandals. The costliest ring that you could find. A BMW. Get it ready for him. Oh, a hybrid, of course. No strings attached. No probation required. No penalty to be paid. Come home. You're welcome. And not surprisingly, when you read the story, the home was filled with music and dancing. You get that, Christian Methodist? Music and dancing. They did dance back in those days. And we can still dance. A little line dancing never hurt anybody. Always love it. Wow. Music and dancing. Why? Because this son who was dead is now alive. He was lost and he was found. And Jesus concludes with the most wonderful words he probably could have ever used. And they began to celebrate. Christians, they began to celebrate. Do you get it? There's nothing wrong with us celebrating and laughing. You see, someone like the prodigal's father is waiting for you and for me. He's scanning the horizon, waiting for us to appear. He has spared no expense. And the empty cross shouts out to us, hey, all is forgiven. I know you're at the end of the road down there. Come on home. All is forgiven. You can come home now, and we love you, and you're welcome. It's time to celebrate. It's time to laugh again. And in the midst of pain, we need to learn how to laugh again. Laugh again as you return with me to the very beginnings of our faith history and God's covenant with Abram. And we've talked about Abraham in many Sundays gone by. And when we studied the three major religions of the world, but I love the story, and I love this account. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name is going to be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. This is going to be great. I will give you and the offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God. And the Lord said to Abraham, and I bring it up again because I love it, I'll even bless your wife Sarah, and I'll give you a son by her. Oh, how I'll bless her. Nations will come for her. Kings and nations will come for her. And Abraham fell flat on his face. I can see him doing this. And then he laughed. Abraham laughed, thinking, can a 100-year-old man father a son? Better yet, can a 90-year-old woman deliver one? Can Sarah at 90 have a baby? And when she heard about it, what's the passage of Scripture? Sarah laughed within herself. An old woman like me get pregnant with this old man of a husband? Boy, they were really picking on each other, weren't they? I mean, you know, in this day and time, 100 isn't bad. Maybe stretching it just a bit far, but God had the last laugh. Why? Because he said, when you have that baby, God had in the back of his mind, let's think now. Oh, great people in this. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, I tell you what, name your child Isaac. I think that's an excellent name. Isaac, so be it. The name was picked by God even before the child was born. The second patriarch of Israel, of ancient Israel. And you know what his name is in Hebrew? He laughed. And God would have the last laugh forever. He laughed. And God laughed with him and with us. This leads me to today's scripture and Paul's magnificent, though brief letter to the Philippians. I don't know if you've read the letter lately. Take a look at it. It is jam-packed in just a short short 104 verses. It brings a smile to your face when you read it, when you think what Paul has been through. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the surprising theme of the entire letter? It's right there at the beginning. I thank God every time I remember you, constantly praying, what? With joy in every one of my prayers for all of you. With joy. Now, why did I say it's a surprising theme? Because Paul's in prison. He's been in prison, either homebound, shackled to a guard, or in prison. He's been under house arrest for some time. In writing to the Philippians, he does not wallow in his self-pity. He doesn't whine about his captivity. And he doesn't seek help in escaping. Okay, you guys, I'm writing you this letter, and I want you to show up with the pickup and the bulldozer and the hammers. And I want you to get me out of prison as soon as you can. You don't find this anywhere in the letter. His message is lighthearted and is filled with laughter, the laughter that God brings to him through Jesus Christ. When you take a look at his record, it is clear. And these are the words from 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I've been flogged 5 times with Jews, 39 lashes. Beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled by rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times, immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In traveling year in and year out, I have had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those I thought who were my friends. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely nights without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by the cold, naked by the weather. He sounds like a Methodist pastor. Man. And in spite of all of this, the theme of joy and laughter resurfaces time and time again in the book of Philippians when he compared staying on earth to leaving and going to be with Jesus. His message was joyful. For me to live is Christ. And what? To die is gain. To die is gain. And when Paul was drawing his letter to a close, he returned to the same joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Go ahead and laugh. Paul does well to remind us all of that which we sometimes forget in the troubling times in which we live. And that is, Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago that you and I may learn how to laugh again. Amen.